This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Howdy, third hour here on Teak and Tierney. What's going on? Hope everybody's doing awesome. CBS Sports Radio, all of our great affiliates around the country. It's the Teak and Tierney Show. 150 of you stretched around the country. Appreciate you. Radio.com, Apple iTunes, Twitter, Teak and Tierney. Man, what a wild week one. It's been awesome. I mean, culminating last night, the Raiders, that wackiness, that place was popping. And it all started with the world champion Bucks getting their props, getting their due as they rightfully earned. That was a lot of fun against Dallas. And we'll get with one of their star defensive players here in a moment as Teak and I roll to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Hey, by the way, we had Travis Kelce, in hour two. So if you guys missed that, Santa's going to get that up on Twitter or YouTube as well, youtube.com/Teak and Tierney. But, Teak, we got a chance to chat with somebody that we actually had on the show last March before the draft. And, of course, his pops played in the NFL. This young man played at Minnesota, terrific player, off to a nice start in his career, Antoine Winfield Jr. He's a D-back for the Bucks, and he's with us here again on Teak and Tierney. What's up, Antoine? How you doing, bub?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Awesome. You know, I've got to ask you, I don't know if you really watched Hard Knocks because, you know, hey, we're playing Dallas week one. Let me check in a little bit more intimately. Maybe you were busy with other stuff. But let's be honest. I mean, nobody saw Dak Prescott throw a pass since October. Did you guys think, as you prepared for this game, that Dak was going to come out and sling it almost 60 times?
Nah, really, didn't think he was going to throw it that much. But, you know, he's a great player, and he has weapons all over the field. So I was actually surprised by how well he played.
Yeah, you know, we were as well. I mean, it was toe for toe and tit for tit. Every single one of those throws down the field between him and Tom Brady and Dak. So, you know, one of the things that we looked at in this game was who could make the last play. You guys feel conditioned to do that, right? And it's because you got everybody going back, coming back this season. You know, what's your confidence level this right now?
You know, a confidence, you know, that's pretty much built week to week. It's something that we all pretty much have, but, you know, that goes in with the preparation because, you know, everybody, you know, every team is good in this league, so it doesn't matter what you do. If you don't bring it on those Sundays when you play, then you can lose to any team. And, you know, the confidence, you know, is just built through our preparation. I feel like we prepare well. And so, you know, our goal is to just continue to go out there and win the games.
Yeah, you know, you hate to see this, and we saw it early. I think it was early in the game when Sean Murphy bunting goes down. I don't know if you know how he's doing, but how do you guys respond? He was obviously a big part of the success last year, and I'm expected to be so this year. How do you guys replace him?
Yeah, Sean's a great player, and it sucks that he had to go through his injury. But, you know, on our team, you know, we have a next man up policy, so we're going to figure out who can fill in the spot and next man up and just go from there.
Hey, by the way, how wild was the you know, just being in the stadium and just to see, I mean, fans back and everybody revved up and the acknowledgement, I mean, just for the guys to get crowned champ, I mean, officially coronated as champs. I mean, that must have, what was that like to just be on that field as a pro?
Yeah, that was crazy. I think that was the most intense game I've ever been in as far as, like, crowd noise and everything. Because, you know, last year we didn't have any crowd noise or any fans of the games, but we had a packed-out stadium. It was super loud. It was crazy. The atmosphere was ridiculous.
Yeah, you guys had a little bit of fans at the end, though, right? Last,
we had a little bit at the end, but it wasn't full. I think that was by far the loudest game that we had.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, you come in as a rookie, win a Super Bowl. It's not always that easy, but I mean, it felt like, especially once you guys got to the Super Bowl. I mean, there's a lot of hype coming on into this team this year. People are talking about 17-0, and you know they're going to repeat. How are you guys staying grounded with all that expectation around you?
Yeah, by pretty much just coming in and putting in the work every day. You know, our team this year isn't the same team as last year, so we know that, you know, we got a target on our back. So everybody's going to give us their best shot at every game, and we just got to make sure that we're disciplined enough and conditioned enough to go out there and keep executing what we need to do to win games. And, that starts in the locker room with just making sure everybody, you know, has that chip on their shoulder that we have to go out here and get it again, and us not being complacent, because, you know, complacency could easily set in, but, you know, we try our best to keep each other humbled and making sure that we're out here working just as hard as we was last year.
Yeah, you guys know. I mean, you get complacent in the NFL, you're going to get your head knocked off. I mean, you can literally get hurt. I mean, I get it. We're talking to Antoine Winfield, who is a terrific young player collegially at Minnesota. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So last year, you know, you're a rook, even though you know, your dad was around the game, you've been around the game, so I'm sure you weren't completely overwhelmed. I don't mean physically. I know that your talents allowed you to mesh in pretty quickly, but you weren't overwhelmed by walking into an NFL locker room. But this year, you know, now you know exactly what to expect. If you recall, Tom Brady, when you, like, early stages last year versus Tom Brady this year when he came back for year two as a Buck, did he seem a little different? I mean, when you walk into a building, you don't know anybody. After 20 years of being in one building, it's got to be pretty daunting. Does Brady feel a little more comfortable this year?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, he's the same guy that I met on the first day when I first came into the facility. So I don't really think much has changed with him. You know, he's been around the game for so long, and being in the locker room, that ain't the issue. So he's same Brady since when I first met him.
Let me ask you this. If he lined up right now and he ran the 40-yard dash and you ran backwards, would you beat him?
I think I got him. I think I got him.
You got him backwards.
Oh, my God. Backwards.
Yeah. You know, how fun is this team? I mean, because I'm just thinking about the personalities. I know some of the wide receivers are more reserved in a sense, but defensively, you guys seem like you guys have a ton of fun. How fun is this team to be on, especially with Coach Arians, who's just, I mean, he's the dude of the dudes. You know what I mean? How fun is this team?
So this is extremely fun, especially with our playing with our defense. I got some great talent, great guys around me, great leaders around me. And so just being able to play with them, and I feel like we're so versatile in the way that Coach Bowles can use us. It's just fun being able to be out there in different positions, making different plays, and just playing with those guys.
You know,
I was going to say, speaking of Coach Bowles, I mean, one of the things that we jumped out, and I'm going back to the Super Bowl here, but we all thought that it was going to be Blitzville. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Todd only blitzed you guys, I want to say 10 or 11%. Todd Bowles, I'm a Jets fan. Todd was my coach for a couple years. I thought he was so sublime in the Super Bowl against an incredible offense. I don't think he's going to be a DC much longer, but I got to be honest with you. I think Todd's going to get back in the NFL as a head coach. You think he should, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, Coach Bowles is a great guy. He's a defensive guru. I say this all the time. But, yeah, he's a great guy. I can definitely see him as a head coach.
How's he communicate with you guys? Because that was the one – I don't want to say knock, but, you know, he's a man of few words, at least at the microphone. Which didn't really fly with the New York media, and you know how the New York media is a little different than elsewhere. Behind closed doors, is he a little bit different?
No, Coach Bowles is a real cool dude. You know, he's not a guy that talks a lot, but when he says stuff, you know, he really means it. And he always gets his point across. But he's really a cool, laid-back coach.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, no, that's what we saw that when we were in New York a little bit. Maybe it didn't fit here in New York, but it certainly works down there. I mean, we all know your family history, Antoine. Your dad was a player. You ever feel pressure along the way? I mean, I'm going through this because my son's playing football in college as well, mm-hmm. and I have another one that's coming out. He's 6'5", and like the name is one thing, but like the expectation, it's sometimes hard to live up to. Do you ever feel that?
You know what? I've never really felt expectation. I didn't have to play football if I didn't want to, and that's something that both of my parents instilled in me when I was younger.
Yeah.
And I always just played it because I love playing the sport. And so as far as, you know, having the same name and things like that, I never really looked at it like that. I was just like, I'm going to go out here, have fun, and ball out, and, you know, all that other stuff doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no, I think you really look at that thing that way. Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And that's the best way to go about it. Like, if you don't have to do this if you don't want to. And so it makes me ask you, where did that passion come from? Just from being around it and you know, loving the sport and growing up in it?
Yeah, I would have to say watching my dad do it. I used to see how much joy it would bring him playing football, and so, you know, he got me into it at an early age. You know, he'd be in the backyard doing footwork drills. I'm back there with him doing drills and things like that.
That's cool.
And just always being around football growing up is probably what led me into loving the sport. Played ever since I could walk, really.
And yeah.
So that love kind of developed early.
Who was your first favorite player besides your pops?
Besides my pops, I would have to go with I'll have to say Adrian Peterson. Because that was around the time where I was old enough to know who the good ones were, and I remember watching AP, and I was like, yeah, that was probably my other favorite player.
Yeah, no, he was ridiculous. He still is. I mean, yeah. he's still an old man now. He's still trying to play, but he's still getting it done, even when he was old last year. Let me drop you back to college for a minute, and not your tenure there, but your coach PJ Fleck starting to get some hype to leave. He's obviously put together a good program there. I know they lost to Ohio State. You guys lost to Ohio State in week one, but, I mean, they dominated on the ground. You know, it was a shame that Ibrahim tore his ACL, or no, tore his Achilles. Because he's such a stud runner. Do you see him being there for the long haul? Like, if USC, who just fired their head coach, Clay Helton, should come calling, you think it's the kind of guy that would leave? He'd jump at that opportunity? Or is she there for the long haul?
I believe Coach Fleck is there for the long haul. He even said it to us when he first came, and I believe him. I can see him being in Minnesota for a while.
Now, a lot of coaches have said that, Antoine, and then they bounce
but I believe Coach Fleck is going to stay there.
But what makes it special out there? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I've never been. I don't know how the campus is. Yeah,
he dresses
exactly.
Good on game day.
You are in the west of the Big Ten, which, you know, is perceived as the easier side of it. But, you know, what makes Minnesota such a special place?
I would say, as far as football, the program, the way Coach Fleck runs his program is probably what makes Minnesota so special. Just the things that he instilled in us while I was there. You know, it's not all about football. It's also stuff like life lessons and work outside of football is something that he really pushes. And he just has a whole bunch of different things that he teaches us, I feel like, and the stuff that we need as far as football and life. And so I feel like that's what makes the football program great, because they're a life program, not just a football program.
There you go.
And, Minnesota's just a great place, man. Outside of being cold 7 months out of the year, it's a nice place.
Yep, we were there for the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. We had a really good time. It was freezing, man, but it's a great sports town, you know. Going back to the Kevin Garnett days with Marbury back in the days, and obviously the Twins have had a bevy of great players. I mean, going back to, you know, really the 50s and the 60s, Rod Carew in the 60s, great sports town. The Gophers, of course, great history as well. That's it, man. Really good to have you back on the show. It must 1 year, one championship. Man, you guys were a blast to watch last year. And now you got all the haters coming out. Everybody trying to knock you guys off the top. So you know that the bullseye's on the back. You know that, buddy.
Yes, sir.
We'll talk to you down the road, Antoine. Thanks, man.
Good luck, Antoine.
There you go.
I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Back to you. All right, you know, let's do this. So, week one, all right, officially in the book. And by the way, week two starts in a couple days. Tiki's Giants, quick turnaround against the defense. It's going to be ticked off.
You forget how quickly that happens.
Like, I know, right? I know.
Just game over.
I love it.
You break it down. Oh, wait, you got to play again. Like, in 3 days.
I love it.
And I think it's fantastic.
I love when my team plays on Thursday, when I'm sitting down watching my team play on Thursday. I hate when they play on Thursday when it's Sunday and I miss it.
Yeah.
I'm like, God, I wish they were playing right now.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I hear you.
Well, let's do this, Teak. Let's actually break a little bit early, come back, have a nice lengthy segment, and really sort through what's real and what's not. You know, there's myriad overreactions. And it doesn't have to be all the obvious stuff. Like, maybe we'll go a little deeper in the weeds. We hit all the Rodgers stuff. We obviously pounded the big Jameis with the 5 touchdowns. Maybe a few other things that we may have glossed over that slipped through the cracks that we believe are, you know, really here to stay and need to be reinforced, or things that we could say, just a 1 week outlier. We'll hit that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Saturday at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, noon 30 Pacific. The SEC on CBS features a marquee matchup at the Swamp. Number one Alabama taking on 13th rated Florida. And we get you set for kickoff starting at 2:30 Eastern, 11:30 a.m. Pacific. The Mercedes-Benz drive to Atlanta and catch you up on all the action from around college football on State Farm College Football Today. All coming up on Saturday on CBS. All right, what's good? Teek and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. So, Teek, we now are officially, you know, past week one, getting ready to dive into week two. The G-men in Washington, no Ryan Fitzpatrick, though Heineke played pretty well. When he came in for him, he showed a little wiggle running again, threw a nice touchdown pass, despite the Chargers winning. That is a huge game, by the way, coming up on Thursday. Whoever drops to 0-2, obviously you have 15 more weeks to make up ground, but that is not a desirable spot to be.
That is not at all.
The point being, week one was pretty awesome. So, listen, you know the key storylines. Rodgers looked as if he wanted to be anywhere but on a football field. Jameis Winston looked completely rehabilitated, blah, blah, blah. Dak was great, et cetera. I'm going to give you one under the radar that I think has been glossed over, and I don't think it should be. The Bengals have the makings of a pretty competitive team all of a sudden. I got to tell you, and you know, it's easy to forget because Burrow got hurt last year and they weren't winning a lot of games early anyway, but they were losing some close ones. Like, you go back and you look at what happened to them a year ago. They lost by 3 in week 1. They lost by 5 in week 2. Then they tied. Then they won. Then they lost by 3 to the Browns. Then they lost by 4 at Indy. Then they beat the Titans. Like, they with Burrow, they were actually very, very competitive, right? Now you add Jamar Chase, who, once the lights went on, remembered how to catch the football. Five receptions for a buck 01, 20 yards a pop, a touchdown, 5 out of 7 receptions, five receptions on 7 targets. You know about Higgins. Mm-hmm. You know about Mixon. And the fact that Burrow just like waltzes in there after not playing at all, because I know he took a few snaps in the pre, but you know, right back out there, live bullets. And then after he goes and he beats a team in overtime that has a lot to prove and has a lot of talent in the Minnesota Vikings, this guy has the calmness, has the stones to sit down at the podium, run his fingers through his hair, and say, I thought this guy couldn't catch, Jamar Chase. Because he followed Chase at the podium.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jamar gets up, and as soon as Jamar gets up, he sits down. That's what he does. He runs his face, like, just very coolly through his hair, you know, very casually. He says, I thought this guy couldn't catch the football.
Yeah, this is also the guy who was smoking a cigar after the national championship. And I was like, man, this kid is cocky. But when you're 20 of 27 for 261 yards, 9.7, we talk about this yards per attempt, 9.7. That's like, that's the college numbers, dude. Against Minnesota, this defense was supposed to be getting better. You're right. The Cincinnati Bengals, they surprised me in week one. I thought Joe Burrow would have a ton of rust. Because what did he play, 5 games last year or 6 games?
A little more than that.
I'm thinking of Dak. Dak only played...
I want to say Joe played about 8.
Yeah, I think
8 or 9.
I think you're about right. But still, he missed the majority of
He played 10, I'm sorry.
He missed, you know, 10. 2.5 months or month and a half of the season at the end.
Uh-huh.
And then had to spend the whole offseason rehabbing an ACL injury, which is not easy. Especially for he's an athlete, but you know what I mean. He's not like a super athlete.
Right.
Exactly. And so, surprised by that. I'm actually surprised by how many teams are using their backup quarterbacks as these gadget guys, because you know, it used to be you put in a system, your backup has to be the exact same guy, so that if your starter gets hurt, The backup comes in. Yep. You don't really have to change anything.
Yep.
But what we've seen is that young players like Trey Lance in San Francisco, he backs up Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's starting to learn how to be that quarterback. He's a rookie. He'd be still learning how to be the quarterback, but they can still utilize him. They can get him in the game and feel like the energy of being an NFL player and the urgency with which you need to do your job, right? Same thing with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is, you know, response, even though they lost that game, was, you know, it was just amazing. Like, he kept gushing about how great it felt to be in the NFL, and they used him, and he threw a touchdown pass, right? Trey Lance, same thing. Marcus Mariota last night, he's not a young kid, but he's very different than Derek Carr at quarterback. They put him in a third and one. You have no idea what they're going to do offensively. He ends up splitting it for 40 yards or whatever it was. I mean, so I think this new use of quarterbacks is something that is going to keep happening. Teams are going to start seeing the value of having a backup who's an athlete as opposed to a backup who's just a mirror of the guy who's starting. I found that very interesting because we've never seen that before. Quarterbacks coming in off the bench like he's a substitute player, like you're taking out your tight end and putting in the backup tight end.
Yeah,
you're doing with quarterbacks. It's crazy.
That's a good one. I think those are two good ones. Let me throw this at you. I mean, we know this guy's a thoroughbred, but were you surprised, and you did the game, so you got to see him with your own eyes in person, how much Christian McCaffrey was fed based off his injury,
dude,
and how much he was used and how good he looked?
Look, they drafted Chuba Hubbard from Oklahoma State.
Middle rounds, right?
Fourth round, I believe.
Yeah.
And he kind of fell. Like they thought he would go earlier. He was there, so they took him. And I thought, all right, Christian McCaffrey's going to get 20 touches. I mean, he's coming off an injury, quad, soft tissue. You worry about those things. And obviously, he's rehabbed, and it was nothing surgical. Right, there's nothing that he need to do that need to be reconstructed or anything like that. So, but it's 17 games this year, man. Dude had 30 touches in game one, and it felt like he was getting it every other play.
And he needed all 30 for them to win the game.
That's right.
I mean, you got to beat the Jets at home.
Exactly. I mean, did Chuba even have?
I heard his name on the field. I don't remember him getting the football.
I don't know if he. I don't think he had a. No, he didn't have a carry. They had an end around. Sam Darnold obviously got sacked a couple times, and so those count as carries.
Yep. Didn't DJ Moore do something with
DJ Moore got an end around.
Yep.
Chuba Hubbard didn't. He had two catches. That's it.
Okay.
So two catches. So two touches. So out of the running backs, Christian McCaffrey had 30 touches, 32 touches to running back. 32 touches to running back. Christian McCaffrey had 30 of them. Chuba Hubbard, who was drafted, to just spell him. You know, I got to be exceptional. Just
no.
Like. Take a carry or two, right? Get 4 yards as opposed to, you know, 10 that Christian's going to get you. I was actually very surprised by that because it's a long season. And there were some games a couple years ago when he went 1,000, 1,340-something yards and 1,005 yards receiving where he played every single offensive snap.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 40 or so percent, four games. He played every single snap, which is it's just asinine. You can't do that again because we saw what happened the next year. He got hurt. So, yeah, I was very surprised that he carried the ball as many times as he did.
Did you think he'd be this good?
Christian McCaffrey?
This good?
Yeah.
This good?
Here's the thing. I think Chuba Hubbard can be that good, too.
Like, I was disappointed. He had a lot of buzz in college, and then he kind of dissipated a little bit.
Well, you remember what happened, though. So in 1999, he rushed for... 2019, what am I talking about? In 2019, he rushed for 2,000 yards, over 2,000 yards. He had like 21 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He was a stud.
He was terrific.
And then all of that like craziness started happening with his head coach.
Yeah. Gundy,
Mike Gundy. And remember, we talked about it. It was like, should Gundy be fired?
Oh, we definitely talked about
right?
it.
And then they...
Some racial tension.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about it, absolutely.
And he wore that T-shirt, remember?
Yeah, yeah, the OAN shirt.
That's right. And Chuba Hubbard was one of the guys that called him out, like publicly.
Yes.
Called him out. And it was like, man, something's got to give here. I think Chuba actually said, I will never play for him again. And then they talked it out and, you know... He handled it as men, quote, as they said it, and it just felt different.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he came back, it felt different because I actually did one of those games. I did Bedlam. I did Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and it felt different, man. So I think the off field stuff at Oklahoma State affected the on-field there.
But I feel like he was having, and you might be right, but I think he was having a slow start to the season even before that. Like, he didn't come out of the chute firing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think his energy wasn't on being great. Like he said, Mike had the exact quote. He said, "I won't play for Oklahoma State again until things change."
No, I'm talking about, but when did Gundy wear the shirt? I thought that the season started, and then there was the situation. I remember watching Hubbard play, and people. No, maybe at the timeline.
No, it was in June. It was definitely in the offseason.
When he okay,
and because it was during COVID, right?
It was. Is that what it was? Are you sure?
Yeah. It was just odd. Like everything that was going on. I remember the Big 12, they played, right? They there was never any doubt that they were going to play. And then all of a sudden, I remember seeing this. It was like Chuba Hubbard is, you know, might not play. I was like, what is this? I clicked on it and I thought it was about COVID. He was going to opt out because of COVID.
Yep.
He was saying, I'm not going to play for Oklahoma State again unless things change. And it was the catalyst was Mike Gundy's shirt.
Yeah.
But there actually was a whole bunch of other stuff that they ended up talking about, and they ended up working it out, and he ended up playing, but he didn't have nearly the season that he had the year before, where it was like, dude, this kid's going to win the Heisman because
mm-hmm.
he was so explosive. I mean, he's a track star from Canada. He was not very highly recruited, but once he broke on the scene, he just exploded. And so I think, look, so your question was, am I surprised that Chris McCaffrey was this good? The answer is no, because rushing for 2,000 yards in 12 games is hard.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris McCaffrey did that at Stanford. And it was Stanford. You know what I mean? It wasn't like it was at USC.
And
or,
he caught the ball, too.
Or yeah, he had 47 receptions, BT.
He's unbelievable.
Running backs in college that they call receiving running backs, they mm-hmm. catch like 20 or 22 passes.
Yeah.
He had 47 receptions his junior season at Stanford. Chris McCaffrey did. The dude was basically a wide receiver also, which is rare. Was rare then. It's obviously becoming more and more prevalent now because
yeah.
offenses have changed. But, yes, you saw it in college. You can expect it in the NFL. I saw it with Chuba Hubbard as well. I just don't know if it's going to translate because he's sitting behind Chris
him.
McCaffrey.
Yeah.
But it makes sense why they went and got Chuba Hubbard because he's a similar type of player.
Similar skill set. Gotcha. Okay. Ack, what's up, bud? How you doing right. today, Rich Ackerman?
I am doing well. You guys looking good?
Yeah, I mean, looking good.
You can't look at us. We're not on TV. So. We're feeling good.
I'm guessing that, you know, hey, I saw you yesterday. You're looking good.
See, that's Ack's way of trying to say that it makes it seem like he's watching the show.
Yes.
Supporting us. Has no idea we're not even on TV today. Oh, Ack, come on, man. I mean, I read you like a book. I know. Am I right or wrong with that?
Still got
1,000% right. You guys look good today. Oh, look, Ack is—he's engaged in the show. How would you know how we look? We're not on TV.
It's a sixth sense, like Aquaman with the fish.
Well, we always look good, by the way. I mean, that's a pretty good guess. If you get a bet on us looking good, that's a pretty winnable bet.
It's a given. It's a given.
Mm-hmm. Giants gonna win Thursday night or what?
Yes.
Ooh. Mm, I think that's a tough spot for against Washington, boy. I don't know.
Andrew Thomas is under the microscope after last year, that's for sure.
Yeah, I got you.
They're all under the microscope after all 0-1.
It's true. That's true. All right, let's get the update. Ack is on top of that. We'll come back. We'll hit you with the blast. Let's see what's on the blast here. A little something on the Browns, Chiefs, a little something on the Broncos, possible sale of the Broncos, Donovan Mitchell, also Sham, something about the NBA there, and Patrick Cantlay. Okay. All right, Stu Getz. This was Stu Getz dancing around his bedroom after the Raiders, his Raiders, found a way to secure that wild win last night.
Congratulations, Stu.
Yeah, man. Did you bet the game?
I did not bet the game. I thought they were going to lose. I'm glad I didn't bet it.
No, I meant to ask you
last week.
It's
hard to bet games when your guy is playing, when your team is playing.
I think it's easy. Well, first of all,
you bet on the lose.
You bet on the win. I admit, I have. Well, no. Listen.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
No. I knew
you. What kind of fan are you if you're betting on your team to lose?
I knew you were going to get on me for that.
Of course,
you got to understand when your team is as bad as mine, as at least for the last 7-8 years, you may as well make some money watching them lose. And here's the thing.
Yeah, but then when they win, you're like, that's my team. Why don't I bet on them?
Context. Listen, when the season is like, when they're 1-8, that's when I start betting against. I'm not doing it opening day or week 3 or week 4. Hey, listen, if I want a coach, like I wanted Adam Gase to get fired, I was betting on him to lose.
Yeah.
I'll make some money on the Jets. So I meant to ask you though, Stu Getz, some people are not able to bet for their team to win, which I actually certainly prefer doing more than betting on the Jets to lose, which I definitely didn't do this past week, and I don't plan on doing any time this year because I'm rooting for Rob Salonim and Zach. It's different. Can you bet money on the Raiders to win if you feel good about it?
I could do both, and I have done both.
You have? So you know where I'm coming from. When you know your team is horrendous, you may as well make some money on it.
Yeah, but the Raiders have been hard to do that with the last couple of years because, yes, they've lost games, but they're never like they have.
Yeah, they're not inept.
No,
they're not. That's fair. That's true. But here's the thing. If you bet for your team to lose, which, again, I don't advise this. It's got to be really interesting circumstances.
Are you happy when they win?
Well, here's the thing. That's the silver lining. Now, if you bet them to lose and they win and they go to 2-9, no, that doesn't do anything for the happiness. Yeah. If you bet them to lose and suddenly they win and they're like 5-4, which, by the way, if you're betting on your team to lose when they're 4-4, that's not right.
No.
I'm certainly not espousing that. There's no way I'm saying that.
You're not really a fan then.
I mean, then you're a degenerate fan, and then all your wires are crossed, and that's just not good. Go see somebody. How do you go to bed? I haven't had a good, like a galvanizing Jets win at night in a long time. How do you go to sleep after a win like that? Seriously.
I was up till 2 o'clock because I was so jacked up after they won that game.
Yeah. Do you just stare at the ceiling or do you just watch all the additional coverage?
I was watching the coverage. I was on Twitter.
That's what you end up doing.
All the tweets and all the post-game, the comments by Gruden and Carr. Yeah, it was a long night.
Now, are you pro? Is Derek Carr your quarterback?
I like Derek Carr. I'm a Carr fan. I don't think he's an elite quarterback, but I think he's definitely not the problem.
Doesn't have to be elite.
Number 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. In your estimation, Derek Carr resides at what number?
Maybe like 11 or 12.
It's fair. If you have the 11th or 12th best quarterback in the NFL and you have a good organization, which, as I pointed out to Tiki earlier, he hasn't really had that because Mayock is not drafted well and Mark Davis might not be the best owner. They bounced around locations. But if you have a good franchise and you're 10 or 11 or 12, you're going to win some games. I mean, he was 12-4 the year, right? The year they got hurt. Was that his hand or was that his foot?
His foot. That was a leg, yeah.
That was a leg issue. He hurt his leg. That's right. I like Derek Carr. He's hard not to like. He plays the game the right way.
Agreed.
Integrity. Ready for the blast, Teeks? Here we got?
I am.
Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so as the Browns fell to Kansas City on Sunday, by the way, we had Travis Kelce on the show an hour or two. Make sure you go and check that out. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Santa will get that up there. Twitter as well, @TikiandTierney. He was great. Anyway, they continue to be without one of the stars. Odell Beckham Jr. sat out. He's continuing his recovery from his ACL injury. Now, following the game, head coach Kevin Stefanski explained why OBJ didn't suit up.
He worked out before the game and didn't feel like he could go a significant amount. So we felt like it was the right thing to do to keep him inactive. And we had 4 wide receivers up.
Yeah, that was pretty much a game time decision. We thought he would play, but then we found out a late scratch. What kind of season are we expecting from Beckham this season?
Don't know, BT. It's hard to figure him. I just think back to his early years with the Giants. He played in 12 games in 2014, his rookie season, and 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns. 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns in 12 games.
Oh, wow. 108.8
yards a game.
Led the league that year with
that. Led the league with that. 12 touchdowns and 13 touchdowns and 10 touchdowns, and an injury started to take their toll on him, and they persisted, even though he did have 2,000-yard seasons. His first season with the Cleveland Browns was. What kind of season do I expect? I think it's going to be a frustrating one. Because if he's still managing his health from an ACL injury, that means he's not fully healthy, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like guessing here, but
that seems like a pretty fair read,
right?
You're not ready to go game one,
yeah, right? So that means I don't know when he's going to be ready.
Yeah,
I think it could be a frustrating, disappointing season for him.
You know, I have a similar.
I'm not wishing for that. That's what I feel.
No, I got you. I have a similar read to that, but I actually think there's going to be a silver lining. I think the days, and you just ran through the numbers before, so I don't need to do it again, but the days of Beckham putting up those big, big baller numbers, that's over.
Yeah.
Because they're going to run the ball too much in Cleveland, and eventually he's going to be on another team and on a different contract with different expectations. He's not going to be the best receiver, maybe poor quarterback play. The days of him balling out with those sick numbers are over, but what I do think will happen once he gets healthy eventually this year, provided he doesn't rush it too early to get back, he's going to catch some important touchdowns for this team.
Yeah.
I do. I really do. I think he's going to take the top off, and I think he's just going to He's going to have a – it might not seem it in September. I think he's going to have some impact on the season, though. The Broncos could be up for sale in 2022 if the family of the late Pat Bowlen isn't able to figure out the ownership situation. Now, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is reportedly somebody who could buy the team. I also saw Jay-Z could have a little interest there. Team Bezos is worth a reported $200.9 billion, which is a lot higher than Stevie Cohen's $14.6 billion net worth, if you're wondering, you know, about, you know, the owner of the Mets now. How impactful would Bezos be for an NFL team where there is a salary cap? Well, I mean, the things that he could do with the facility, although all these facilities are pretty dope at this point. There's really no antiquated facilities where you go in and it's just like the hot tub that's still lingering from 1989. Yeah, I mean, come on, maybe some a little late with cryotherapy. We talked about that, like with the Jaguars. But maybe the practice facility is a bit outdated. It's 18 years old instead of, you know, 4 years old. But, you know, maybe a new stadium is where you really get the pop. But
yeah.
I mean, the stadium is somewhat nominal.
The stadium's only 20 years old, right? So it's not that old.
That's
true. So, I mean, what impact? How impactful? He'd be impactful from a... I don't know, an upgrade of, say, the technology, or I don't know, maybe there's some, you know, other assets he can include that make it a destination for free agency. But I think the biggest thing that he would provide is stability. Right now, one of the issues, and this is not on the field, it's behind the scenes in Denver, is that they haven't had a lot of stability, or who is actually in charge. And that trickles down. I mean, not in massive ways, but it does. Like, a culture matters. And I think one of the things that Jeff Bezos has been great at in his business at Amazon is building the right culture. So I think that would be his impact. But you're right. For the most part, it's nominal.
All right, Teat, number three. Jazz guard Donovan Mitchell was hobbled with an ankle injury. Look at how long is... Look at it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven... 8 lines I have to read to get to this damn question. Jazz guard Donovan Mitchell was hobbled with an ankle injury throughout the team's second-round loss to the Clippers this past postseason. Well, Mitchell revealed to The Athletic recently that the injury actually helped him get better, saying, quote, that injury kept me on the ground for the entire playoffs, and it allowed me to have to make decisions on the ground, slow it down, different things that really opened things up to where I was like, okay, this is another level, a layer of my game that I think I could be without the athleticism. End quote. What do we think of Mitchell's chances of becoming a top 10 player if he continues to add to his game? Just don't ask Shaq about him.
I mean, of course he can become a top 10 player if you keep adding to your game. He's already a really good player. He's one of the best young players in the NBA. And as guys age out and he continues to climb, yeah, can he get there? Of course, if he keeps adding. But, I mean, I can't predict that. I have no idea. I don't even like to speculate. I know he's a great player right now for a young man, but is someone else going to come along and, you know, take the league by storm in 2 years, and all of a sudden he gets knocked down a peg?
That's what makes it tough.
It's just, it's hard. I can't predict that.
I mean, there's a lot of Suggs and Green and Cunningham.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's Mobley from USC. Who the heck knows? I'm sure there's going to be a European star, too, that's not on the radar right now, that within 2 years
I'm refusing to set myself up to be wrong.
Uh-huh. I like the protest there. And by the way, you know, there's so many players now. I mean, Trae Young.
That's right.
I mean, think about the way some of these other players who are right there, like right, you know, right on the cusp. I mean, obviously Doncic is there. Mm-hmm. Some of the old timers, some of the old G's still hanging on to that status. Top 10 player, I'll say just outside the top 10, independent of what happens with this draft class. I think he'll always be really, really, and I'm a big Mitchell fan. We defended Spider, but top 10, you got Irving, you still got Durant. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's lofty status right there. Tatum is a beast. AD. I mean, Zion. AD's a little too fragile for my taste.
Yeah, true.
According to Shams, the NBA's Kawhi when he's right, even though he's at least, you know, he's better than AD. He's you know, he's
the Joker, he's won the too. MVP.
Joker, Embiid. Give a little respect.
Embiid.
Yeah, that's true. That's great. You know who I got. Come on. You know, my boy Randall. Yeah, yeah. All right, according to Shams, the NBA's made some changes to its pace of play as the league's board of governors voted to eliminate automatic reviews on all out-of-bounds plays in the final 2 minutes of games. Now, the coaches' challenges will now be the only method to review out-of-bound calls. Do we view this potential change as a positive or a negative? since some calls could be missed. I actually think it's more of a negative, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, the time that it actually changed impacts, don't get me wrong, I can't say how many times I've sat there, you've sat there, your eyes are bleeding, the damn whistle. Come on, back to Staples right after this. And then you come back, foul, you know, free throws, inbound, foul. I mean, they bleed this thing out, and I get it. You want to try to truncate this as much as humanly possible. Aesthetically, it's got to improve, but at the end of the day, you got to get the calls right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say I don't love it, even though I understand why they're trying to do this.
I think it is a negative impact on the game because it's such a subjective part of what we're talking about here of the game with the referees. I mean, sometimes, I mean, these are big bodies that we're talking about in tight spaces. As they get bigger, the court obviously shrinks. And now the referee's got to be in the right position to make a lot of these calls. They simply can't be in the right position sometimes. And so I think they're going to miss a lot of these if we leave it up to just their interpretation in real time. So, I think it's going to be negative because fans are going to start not trusting the referees for making the wrong calls.
Mm-hmm.
And all we're going to get this, bitching and moaning about how refs can't get it right. And it's not even their fault. Yeah,
it's rigged.
And then that becomes it.
Oh, my goodness.
Clearly that was the Lakers' ball. Clearly.
Oh,
why would they make that call?
Does open up a lot of innuendo.
Yep.
Friend of the show, Patrick Cantlay, has had a sensational 10 months. He has been absolutely great. Which included 3 tournament wins, the FedEx Cup Championship as well. Well, earlier today, he was named PGA Tour Player of the Year by his peers over Jon Rahm, who had a great year himself. Who's the best golfer on the PGA Tour right now?
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods. We miss you, Tiger, buddy.
Yeah, we do.
We miss you, pal. He'll love, man.
It's Patrick Cantlay for one reason and one reason only, the Tiki and Tierney mojo. That's all I care about.
Well, we've also had Spieth on the show.
There's 2 people in this question, BT. We have not had Jon Rahm.
We haven't had Rahm, so we have to. Yeah, we definitely.
We gotta go Cantlay.
You know, I gotta tell you, I actually think mojo aside, which is very hard to push aside because it's such a tangible aspect of the show. I think the answer really is Patrick Cantlay.
His putting, it's just exceptional.
Was sublime.
Yeah, that playoff. That what was it? 6.
That was the BMW Championship, the 6 holes with Bryson.
It was unreal.
It was, and
he was putting from 15 feet farther.
And if he doesn't make it, the match is over.
That's right.
I think they got it right. Patrick Cantlay, slow heartbeat. Looking forward to see what he does for us in the Ryder Cup as well.
Right. He's pulling like 5 irons out. You know, Bryson's hitting a wedge. He's still best in the holes. It's unbelievable.
Great player.
Time's up.
Tom.
The blast is over for another day.
It's up. Stu Getz, how are we going to grade the show today? Haven't done this for you in a while.
Yeah, I haven't done this in a while. Very good. I thought the NBA conversation was very good.
Oh, you like that?
Animated.
Yeah, it was animated.
Wait. We didn't get your opinion.
I'm with you and Samter.
All right,
I think I'm interested in it.
We don't need his opinion. If that's his opinion, we really don't need his opinion. I assume that was an opinion.
I knew it would be his opinion.
I lumped it in with you guys,
because he's an EPL Champions League, Europa League like me.
That's why I already put it all together, man. 3 peas in a pod, 3 soccer heads.
Wait, didn't we find you a team yet?
Yeah, I got my team. Not Breckenridge. What's my team up there?
Breckenridge.
What's the team that I root for?
Brentford.
The 74-year drought that
that's
ended.
That's Samter's team, though.
What's the name of the team?
Brentford.
The Bees.
Brentford. The Brentford Bees.
Breckenridge. Breckenridge. Like a slope in Colorado, too, I think. Skiing.
Sounds familiar, though.
It does. Have a great Tuesday night, everybody. Safe, sensible, and sane. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.